The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome to the Promised Land, a show about Manchester United. I'm Scott Saunders, joined by Rob Blanchett. And Rob, my first question is just how far away from the Promised Land are Manchester United today?
Well, as far away as we were last week, and as far away as we were 6 months ago, and as far away as we were maybe even 10 years ago, Scott. But do you know what? In the distance there, this isn't rehearsed, in the distance there, Promised Land still exists. It is still there. So today is going to be a show of hope. And that's how we're going to take this show forward.
Well, just so you know, we haven't done any prep. Usually we have a chat for about half an hour before we start recording these. But I was keen today to not burn through anything really and just talk about whatever the hell we saw last night. And just the bigger picture, really, because you'll get a lot of shouting and screaming and tantrums and sadness, but you've seen it before. I think we've all seen this before. I don't think anybody really in their right mind thought that Man United would go to Palace and win last night. Maybe people didn't expect a 4-0 drubbing when United were absolutely dominated from start to end, really. A mishmash of players taking the pitch, a manager on the touchline looking like, what am I going to do next? People will point blame at Ten Hag. People will look at me and say, Scott, you defend Ten Hag to the hilt. You do. But the point of like me defending Ten Hag is the problems are bigger than Ten Hag, and I think they still are. But what I will say is, I said a few weeks ago when the takeover was essentially confirmed, he's got a few months to prove it, to prove that he can take this team forward. And I feel like now, regardless of injury problems, a change has to be made. It really does. And I feel like not many people, not many footballers, not many staff will even, like in a couple of years, let's say in a couple of years, if United are in a better place, I don't think there'll be many of these people here anymore. But yeah, positive show, as Rob said. That's what we're going to try and do today. But yeah, I just wanted to set my stall out early. We've not prepped anything. We don't know what we're going to talk about. This show might run longer than it usually does. We usually do like an hour-ish, but we've got an hour and a half in the calendar. So we'll see. But yeah, Rob, summarize how you're feeling.
Well, how I'm actually feeling, I've got some really bad hay fever, so I apologize on camera here now at the start of the show here. If I end up coughing and spluttering, I'll try and mute my mic when I do that, but we'll get through it. You know, we'll fight the good fight today. But I think when you look at what happened at Crystal Palace, it is like watching bad rerun after bad rerun, and we've used that kind of analogy before. Like you just led there, Scott, with your feelings on Ten Hag, is that I think the thing is, it doesn't really matter how any of us kind of feel about what we've seen this season. Like, it doesn't really matter. It's about what's coming now, what is next, and where it goes in the future. And really, as you said about Ten Hag's auditioning, is that this was his chance for 6 months to kind of prove that he was going to take that forward with the club and do all those things. But as we saw against Crystal Palace and have seen numerous times this season, unfortunately, this is not a rant. This is not being upset. This is not, you know, spitting the dummy out and smashing up your YouTube studios like we're seeing this morning in some places, is that Erik ten Hag, unfortunately, hasn't proved it. Unfortunately, you know, and I think you saw last night at Crystal Palace with a manager that they've had all of about 10 minutes, could play a coherent system with players on much less money than you, much less standards. without the international caps. And they can absolutely maul you. And I felt that before the game. I thought Palace were going to do it. I didn't like the idea of Elise and Eze running at Casemiro. You've got injuries. Yes, right. We know all of this. But I'd have been happy for United to go and park the bus yesterday, Scott, and actually play a coherent system. And what did they do?
But they're not going to. We know that.
They're not going to. That's my point. That's the point. It's like, it's not really, you can dig into the tactics and do all those things like we always do. But ultimately, this manager will play a certain way. He's not going to change those things, injuries or not injuries. And I think he's got to a point now, Scott, where he doesn't, maybe he's gone through the disillusionment barrier where he's like, well, I'm just doing this. This is what I'm doing and I'll live and die by it. And most coaches do get there at some point where their system breaks and it doesn't work. And I think with Eric this year, you know, going to Crystal Palace with that attack and that midfield, I'm talking about Palace's, and feeling that you could just go do that thing that you've been doing all season long and not get beaten, I don't think it's naive. There's levels of stupidity in that. So, I wanted it to work for Eric. It isn't working. And there's no way if you're Jim Ratcliffe there at Sellers Park yesterday, you're going to be thinking anything but this needs tearing down, because it does. And at the end of the game, Scott, what did we see? United players lining up in front of the away end, and the away end singing their hearts out just like they do every week.
The absolute best away fans in the world. That is, as I said to you last night, there was one, I wasn't there last night. I decided not to go in the end. but I was there for a 4-0 defeat at Chelsea in the away end.
Yeah.
2017, I think it was, or ish. And I think Pedro scored after 30 seconds. And United got beat 4-0. Kante scored that day. They were absolutely mauled. It was another one of what we saw last night, but albeit with against Chelsea, who were pretty half decent at the time. Mm. And the United fans, knowing it was 4-0 and they were getting dominated, this was a mess of a football club, were still there singing the Georgie Best song, right through into injury time. And people would say the players don't deserve it, but I mean, that is how, on a Monday night in London, you know, coming down from Manchester and watching that and then still behaving and singing like that is just unbelievable. So fair play to the United fans who were there last night. Absolute example to follow.
Yeah, fair play, because I think the thing is that, you know, you're not singing for the players, you're singing for the badge. You're singing for the shirt. You're singing for the club you support. And I always say as well, players are temporary at every football club. And so are managers to an extent. You know, they come into the football club and you embrace them and they're part of the fabric and you kind of try and move forward and win like that. But if you can't, you don't stop singing. There's plenty of times when you do want to, and there's plenty of times when you actually do and go, what am I watching anymore? This is horrific. And, you know, but what can you do? You know, you've got two choices. Don't go. That's all right. I think if you don't want to go, that's fine. I've done that myself over the years. Absolutely. Where you go, I can't watch this anymore. I need to have a little break for a few weeks, because that's how it is. That's how I find the feel about the Arsenal game coming up. I'm like, I don't really want to be at that match. It's going to be horrible. But then the other side of it is, Scott, is that when you're there, just sing. Just sing, because I think now Man United are in a place where it's kind of all right that everything is failing, because you have to make sure and let things kind of die before they can be reborn. And there's no point, like, you know, pepping the balloon up of just, like, you know, putting band-aids on the cuts, the you know, death by a thousand cuts, and just thinking that you'll be all right somewhere down the line. Because that's the Glazer model. That's what the Glazers have done for over 10 years since Sir Alex left. So you're now at a little bit of a crossroads that your change is forced, because Ineos are here. Ineos are not going to be watching this and thinking, right, we're just going to let it happen. They're not going to let it happen. Not when millions and billions of their money is at stake, and that they are here, you know, as we said, Jim Ratcliffe's vanity project. He's not watching this game, Scott, and thinking, this is what I want to be remembered for. No, he's thinking, I'm going to change this. And that's all right, because I think that's where we're at the right point of change. And I think that's the problem for Eric as the boss, is that he's kind of gone into a dark tunnel, Scott, And for him, there is no promised land at the end. Like, he just looks bamboozled. And every interview he gives now, there's a little bit of defiance in his voice. But he's talking.
He's protecting himself, though, isn't he? Like, yeah. You know, he's trying to protect himself. Because, like, we've seen other managers, better managers than Ten Hag, come to Man United and get absolutely eaten up by it. Because this is a football club which fails from the top to the bottom. I think you get a reminder of that every couple of years. Mm. Ratcliffe, Blanc, I think Wilcox was there, will all know that. They'll all have seen what's happened over the last few years. The thing is, like, I know that Ten Hag's appointment, which is ironically, he was actually at the Crystal Palace away game around about this time of the season. It was the final game of the season, wasn't it? Mm. Just before he started in his job. And that was just a few weeks after, or a few months after, Ralph Rangnick had called for open heart surgery. And again, that tweet, I did a tweet on that at the time, and it kind of circulates every time United get a defeat like this. And like, I brought it back up again last night, and I think people are looking back on it and thinking, wow, we knew that this needed to happen like 2 years ago. And then they turfed him out. Whoever it was, whether it was Ten Hag or whether it was the people there, decided not to take him on as a consultant and not do the job that everybody knows is still required. And instead, they brought in a manager and repeated the cycle. They've again brought a manager in and expected him to be the one who's able to fix it, thrown a bunch of money at it, spent it terribly, and now you're in an even worse situation than you probably were 2 years ago, because you've just added to the problem rather than addressing it. And some of this, Andre Onana, honestly, I know he gets some defense, but like, there's some basic saves. You got to stop. That fourth goal is right at him. He just let it go, you know? And like, yeah, he might be able to pass the ball, but he can't actually do that all that much. There's just so many issues, that you have to address. And that's why when everybody wants to point at the manager every single time, I'm like, guys, he's bigger than the manager. Like, he might, and he will suffer after this. He has to leave. I think it's beyond that point now. But there are so many other issues here that need to be solved as well as that. And I think we have that point again now.
Yeah, and I think that if we were in, you know, the Glazer universe, and we're not anymore. Like, I know some people think because they're still at the football club in the capacity that they are, that you know, the Glazer fingerprints are going to be on the football club going forward. We know from our sourcing that that's not the case, and that the Glazers have kind of given up the football side of it. They don't want to be involved.
Just to double on that point, Rob, even the recent movements at board level, the CFO is now an Ineos guy. You know, all these changes, like everything seems to be put in place for fundamental change. Maybe I'm speaking in hope there, but it's different personnel at least.
No, look, I don't think you do speak in hope. I think you speak in facts, because the thing is, we see what's happening. Like, we're not stupid. We can totally see that this is what needed to happen. We said this when they came into the picture. We were like, well, Richard Arnold has to go. It's like the first person, not Eric Ten Hag. And guess who went first? So I think the order that the dominoes are falling are in the right order. So that's good. That's what brings me hope. And yeah, somewhere down the line is the manager and the players. And I think this is the whole thing again. Like, even last night, you can see that the players, to an extent, have checked out. But I also think that they just, all season long, have not had a clue what was the plan. Like, whatever Eric Ten Hag's tried to communicate to these players has fallen not on deaf ears, but on players who are supposedly on a lot of money, Scott, and actually international footballers, but can't understand the basics. So whatever they've been asked to do hasn't worked, has it? And I think this is, again, where Ineos will look at that and say, well, look at Richard Arnold a few months ago. He was told to do something by the Glazers and it didn't work. So off you go. We're going to do something different. And that's all that will happen with this manager. It's not a personal thing, or it's not an attack. It's just that he's failed in the function that he's had to kind of perform in the last year. And you're right. All of those things that he's had to carry are real. You know, injuries are real. Ronaldo was real. You know, all the stuff of every player, Jadon Sancho, was real. But, you can still get through. You can still do things better than what we've seen. And I think that's where we are now. We're at the end of the season. And that Crystal Palace performance, you had a team that's got a new manager that played like it's been together for years under that manager. And they played brilliant football, didn't they, Palace? You know, on the day, they were miles better than United, and they are miles better than United, but they shouldn't be. And that's all you have to take away. You have to go, well, you shouldn't be like this. Even with Casemiro at centre-back, you really, really shouldn't be as bad as they were yesterday at Sellers Park. But we have seen that performance over and over again.
Yeah, I mean, like, I missed the game because I was away, but the Brentford game that United ended up drawing, from what people suggested, that, you know, that could have been a result like that, but it ended up 1-1 because none of the shots went in.
Apart it was from as bad as the 4-0 at some point.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's right up there for me with an equivalent to the Brentford 4-0, really. I think maybe worse. I think maybe it's worse just because it's, you know, they've actually thrown money at the problem. He's already done the 13-kilometer run or whatever it was.
Yeah.
I can't do that again. But I think fundamental change is needed, and we'll try today and talk about some more positive, brighter things. It might get worse. United got 3 games left in the Premier League, all difficult, difficult games, and an FA Cup final against Man City. And I'm not going to lie, there's a part of me that thinks the United are so stupid they'll go and beat Arsenal. I really still think that. And it'll be Antony or somebody who scores the winning goal just to spite Harry, our producer. But you know, all logic should say that Arsenal should go to Old Trafford and absolutely pulverise United, just as Palace did the other day. United looking like they might come 8th now, barring some kind of performance turnaround, FA Cup final against the best team in the country. Not a chance. Not a chance if things are as they are. But just a couple of things. I'll start doing the plugs first because I've done them already. Subscribe to the show on Apple and Spotify and give us a 5-star review out of sympathy for the fact that we're having to record this today after United have just been beaten 4-0 by Palace. Hopefully it helps you in your recovery after whatever the hell that was. And watch us on YouTube where you can like the stream, subscribe and leave a comment as well. Hit the notification bell on both so you never miss a show, and follow us on socials at @_ScottSaunders, @_Rob_B and @TPLMUFC. Rob, we just, obviously none of us thought that United would beat Palace or even get a draw or anything. Everybody really expected them to go and lose. But I just found it quite funny how things have got so bad that United have somehow picked a spine in their team of Johnny Evans, who has not been fit all season. The last time we saw him, he played 45 minutes. He's not fit. He wasn't ready to play yesterday, but he put his hand up ready to play. And he just isn't fit. He's 36 years old. He was brought in as the 5th or 6th choice centre-back at the start of the season, has had to play and be relied on so often and so frequently. And then next to him, you've got Casemiro, who is probably the walking example of the biggest fall-off in a player's career in football history. It's so vastly different to where he was when he joined United, and even last season. The system doesn't help him, obviously, and exposes his flaws. And then you've got Christian Eriksen in there who, like, you know, it is... he's the kind of player that you need to protect, not to do the protecting. And it just... You know, if that's your base, next to a 19-year-old kid who's been thrown into the fire and expected to lift this club on his shoulders, as talented as he is, he's not going to be able to do that. Cobby's not been great recently. But, you know, that's the state of what it is. And I know that you come on this show every week and say, Eric, show me something different. Like, really, he doesn't. And I understand why he doesn't. But at the same time, how can you not, when that's that's your centre-back pairing and you're still playing the same way? It's beyond belief, really.
I understand wanting to create an identity and a philosophy and all of those things, but your identity cannot be madness. Your identity cannot be chaos. And like she said, you saw that team line up yesterday. You know, there is nothing bad, Scott, about going to Crystal Palace, understanding that Palace are in a better moment than you and that you need to shut the door. Yeah, shut the barn door. You know, don't let the horse bolt out the stable, whatever you want to call it. Just don't do it. And if you got Casemiro at the back there, like you said, Johnny Evans there, Johnny Evans failed a fitness test and Erik ten Hag asked him to play. I find that not acceptable, to be honest with you. But any manager, like Johnny Evans is 36 and might be coming to the end of his second stint at Man United. But come on, you can do something different. Just do something different. You've got kids on the bench who play those positions, play them. Do it. You know, you've got the opportunity. But I think the thing is with Erik is that he formulates a way of how he wants to play. stylistically, and he has to just do it. So all he can do is compelled. So that's why you got what you got last night. You know, and Casemiro getting skinned multiple times. You know, you just talked about the fall off of Casemiro. Casemiro's fallen off a year ago, Scott. It's not recent. It's like we've known and seen
that,
this.
That was one of the biggest exclamation points on that fact, though.
Yeah.
Like that game was possibly his worst.
But I've got sympathy for him. Me too. Being chucked into the bonfire to burn. Just what it is. Kobbie Mainoo, you just mentioned there. Kobbie didn't have a good game. Kobbie has been asked all season long to run the midfield on his own. Why? Do something different. So I think the thing is, like you just said about Christian Eriksen there, if you've got Christian Eriksen in your team, guess what? Play possession football. Put it on the deck. Slow it down. Do that. You can do that. You know, you're allowed. You don't have to do what you feel compelled to do. Slow it down. So I think that's the whole thing with United is, again, you saw the goals where they came from, Scott. They all came from pressing in the wrong areas. And you're like, don't press. Sit in. Calm down. Put your foot on the ball. Yeah, United can't do it because there's this expectation to perform and to entertain, Scott, but you've got to be bigger than that. You've got to go, we're not losing today. And I think that's what United this season haven't done, is that they've gone into games and just thought that they can outgun everyone. And the numbers tell you that this Man United team can't outgun anyone. They're about 14th in the league for attacking, and for conceding shots this year, they're at the bottom of the league. So that's a bad mix. The metrics tell you you're doing something very wrong. And it's got nothing to do with your previous managers. That bit hasn't got anything to do with the Glazers. It's not even about Richard Arnold. That's about what you decide to do that week in training. And this is the problem, is that this is why I think Ineos will look at that dimly. And they'll say, right, we just hired all these technical guys here now. You know, got a new technical director, and we're gonna buy players like this and that and the other. They're not going to buy players for this system. They're not. They're going to have a different system. They'll probably have a different coach. That's just unfortunate for Eric.
Well, the conversation last night was even, does he make the cup final?
I know.
I jokingly made a tweet and even a TikTok video, and I said, hey guys, wouldn't it be funny if you just brought back Ollie for the cup final? Mm. He's got a great record against Pep. He was sacked after a Watford game, which was, you know, almost that was kind of the equivalent to what we saw last night. But that was a little one-off. What do you reckon? Might be a nice way to send him off. And then you go and do all your, you do all your planning. One final throwback for old time's sake, and then and see what you can do. Maybe try and win an FA Cup. But oh, honestly, like, whatever United do next, whatever Ineos do next, where they turn, I know I've tipped Tuchel. I know we talked about McKenna. Mm. I know you talked about McKenna the other day. You got some people thinking, fair to say they're thinking you were mad? Or
yeah, Joe, it was interesting. A few weeks ago when we did the McKenna show, it was really positive, and a lot of people quite liked the idea. And then when he got promoted, and obviously there was a lot of noise around him, and I just reiterated it, just went, he needs to be considered, because I still believe that. I think he can be considered. I'm not saying give him the job. I'm saying you need a list of people and you need to pick one. Yeah, I'd consider him because he's a coach with high acumen. He's proved it in the last few years. Yes, at a lower level. But I think, as we said, Scott, you know, like about Ten Hag and every coach like Mourinho and Van Gaal, it's not really about CVs now. It's about what fits what you're trying to do in the future now. How do you change that? I think a young manager with fresh ideas, just how, you know, Arsenal went and got the number two from Man City, a former player, someone that knows Arsenal, that's worked for them, but it took time. So if you're going to take your time, why not go with a McKenna or someone like that? Because that gives you the opportunity to slow everything down and try and get all the moving parts right again. Because let's be honest, any coach coming in with this lot, you need to change the players anyway over a period of time. So get the coach in first and then build the team, as opposed to maybe buy and sell the players and then change the coach. That doesn't really work for me. So no, I like McKenna. I think he's done really well. And, you know, good luck to him at Ipswich. I think he's going to, you know, people are like, oh, what if Ipswich get relegated? I'm like, I don't care. It's like, I'm talking about now, you know, what he's done. He might well get relegated. Vincent Kompany's still a good coach, you know, at Burnley. It's just what it is. You just sometimes have to take the leap of faith. But I think at Man United, everything has to be a storybook, doesn't it? And done to a kind of certain script. And let's be honest, 10 years, Scott, the script's not worked.
It's 11 years.
And it keeps going. 11 and onwards.
Let us know in the comments how you feel about this, because I understand that it's going to be a point of like anger for some people. Fed up. I said a few weeks ago on the pod that I just find these things funny now, and that's kind of how I digested last night as well. I was like, wow, that's ridiculous. What am I watching? This is crazy. What a poorly run football club. What a poorly coached team. you know, all you can do really is essentially laugh at it and just hope it changes. But I think, as Rob said at the top of the show, we're going to try and spin positive. I know we talked about Ten Hag, and Rob's stuck the boot in a little bit there. And obviously, I think...
Did I? Was it
you
just realism? Just yeah. realism, well, really.
Like, you did a little bit.
I don't feel anything negative towards Eric, and I understand what he's been going through, but he picks the tactics, and you can't really get away from some of that. And that's why, you know, I'm not here smashing up the studio or going mad about it, because we see it every week. So it's his choice. And I think managers live and die by that, every manager. So, yeah, it's not really too much of a slant at Eric, but you know, we can't also say, Scott, it's not the manager. We can't just say, oh, you're giving more time. Yeah.
It is everybody. It's
everything. It's so much of it. And I think the thing is, he's in a unique position at Manchester United. He's one of the few people in the training ground who can make change. Like, we can't change. We you know, supporters and journalists, we can't do that. It's up to him. And I think that's the thing, is that, yeah, he said last night, didn't he, that if he stays, that he still believes he can make those changes. Well, he's got to go convince his bosses, hasn't he? Not the fans. The fans will carry on singing. So that's just sad for it, really. Sad for the team, but this is what happens in football.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm just looking through my Twitter comments. There's one from John Millard. I don't know if he listens to the show or whatever. He's just replied to the tweet. We're in a circle of failure. All the club has done is hold the manager responsible, and the fans do the same. Ineos have to put an end to it. Sack Ten Hag or don't sack him. I really don't care at this point, because if others are not held responsible, nothing changes. I think that pretty much sums up how I feel. And like what I've been saying for a lot of the time is that, you know, maybe sticking with him into next season, that things would be better than this. I think if everything was right and rosy and people were fit, it would be better. But at the same time, how much better would it be? I don't know. But we've reached a point now where it's so bad that I think nobody can really survive it. I think I just maybe we'll do a show on this in the future, Robert, but people have asked for it. But I looked at the United squad and I think I picked 6, maybe 7 players at a push that I feel like can be here in 2-3 years. Like that's it, you know.
Definitely
play in the way that like United should be playing, a modern style of football. How many of those can do it? You know, maybe some are talented enough, but maybe they need to do it in a different club and a different atmosphere. But I made the comparison yesterday of, we talked about Arteta a second ago, how many players in the Arsenal team when Arteta took over are still there playing for them? You know,
very few. Yeah, very few. I
would say none. Maybe Saka. I can't remember when he was brought in.
Yeah, the younger players who are still in the squad now are ones to come through. But even some of the younger players are not there doing it now. You know, some of those younger players who come through, you know, like someone like Smith Rose or something like that, are on the peripheral of the squad. But that's okay, because I think that's how you build. So, no, I'm with you that I think a very few amount will be there. I think the young kids, like you saw them sat on the bench last night, hopefully they'll be there. You know, like, again, you saw Wheatley come on last night. Hopefully he'll develop. This is why you do now need a coach. I think focus on those things. I'm not saying Eric isn't, but I think you have to go in that direction. So things have to maybe get worse first before they get better. And I certainly think at Arsenal, that's how it was.
You say get worse. I think I posted last night or this morning, that has to be the bottom. Maybe you'll see worse results, but in terms of the attitude and the commitment and what you see on the pitch, that's what I meant by that has to be the bottom. I can't see another one of those performances. I can't see another Brentford. I can't see that they have to. Maybe we'll get some before the end of the season. But, you know, in this period now, Ineos have to put an end to this cultural malaise that we see play out on the football pitch every week. Every week, you know, every month or something like that. Because I think that one was, I wouldn't say it was a downer of tools. I don't think the players were like, you know, let's get this manager sacked. But it was, everybody just seemed done. You know, everybody has had enough of this. And, you know, we're in that period of the season where you don't really have too much to play for, you know, and really what difference does it make? I don't want to go get injured. There's a Euros coming up and there's a Copa America coming up. And then that's kind of the results you end up getting. I remember a 4-0 at Everton, different time of the season, a 4-0 at Brentford, the drubbings by Liverpool, the drubbings by City. You know, that malaise, it has to stop. It just has to, somehow.
It has to stop, and any way you do it is changing it all. It's the only way to change is to do is your destiny. You have to fundamental change through the squad and through the management team. And I think the sad thing is that, like, even last night's squad, I didn't think that was the worst performance of the season. I've seen worse this year, you know, of United. And I think the thing is that it didn't feel to me like the players didn't care. Like, that's why they all went and stood in front of the away end at the end and took their medicine, standing there, because they don't want to do that, do they? They want to get in the dressing room and get home, get back to Manchester as quick as possible. But they stood there and took the medicine because I think they understand. And I always say, I don't think footballers don't care. I just think sometimes footballers don't know how to change it. And I think that's where they are now, is that whatever they're practicing at Carrington doesn't work. They know it doesn't work. It becomes hard to do it. And they're trying to do it. And you're getting nowhere. As I said, Casemiro, anyone thought you were going to see anything different from him last night? I don't know what team you watch every week, you know, so I feel sorry for Casemiro, because he kind of was there to try and do a job. And that's it. You just said about Andre Onana as well. And I agree with you. You know, I think Andre Onana, when he signed for the club, he said, you know, he's going to be a goalkeeper that scares a lot of United fans. And the reason is because of some of the things that he does. And we've seen that this year. The reason why he's got the highest save percentage in the league this season is because United are so dysfunctionally bad at conceding shots. That's why. And he has to bail them out. But he's also not the kind of goalkeeper that maybe that instills confidence in a defence, is he? And what you're getting today, we should have kept De Gea. Well, no, you just needed to build the defence correctly so Onana's got an out ball, because all he's got at the moment is a chip down the middle towards Hoyland. So this is why, see, this is all about the moving parts, Scott. Do you know what I mean? There are reasons, but kind of, I feel like we got to the point of like digging out the individual cracks in the team, because we know why. We've discussed it 100 times. So there's no point doing that. And yeah, a new manager might come in, might look at Andre Onana and go, I'm not doing this with this goalkeeper. Or you might go, well, we're going to have an overt playing style. We're going to play 3-4-3 from now. And guess what, Andre? You're going to have 7 players to pass to from the area. United don't have that at the moment. So it's a kind of wait and see again, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, just on the De Gea point, the revisionism is, I know that was a debate at the time, but two things can be true. You know, the De Gea situation, it was, and I'm still adamant that that was the right decision to make, because he was earning too much money. He wasn't really cut for, you know, playing in the style that the manager wanted. And he's not going to be cut out for playing a front foot style that the next manager will want and that the game model team will want. So it was the right decision at the time. But the way that you address that problem is by going, oh, look, this manager used to work with this guy. And I feel like we don't really scout anybody. Well, we scout loads of players, but actually we don't know how to construct a team properly. So just let's just go with what the next manager wants.
Mm.
And you see that in so many instances. You see it with, I like Martinez, but he's another example of that. Onana is an example of that. Antony is probably the biggest example of that. And that is not how you could, that's not how you build a football. That's not how you construct a football team. You don't just go on the whims of a manager. Like there is not an overarching strategy, an overarching plan. There might be from now, hopefully, or from this summer's transfer window. But I'll double back to the point I made earlier on. United hired Ten Hag under the guise that this was a new era, and then kept making the same mistakes as they were making for the 7, 8, 9 years previous. And now you've added to the problem.
Yeah, because I think when they brought Ten Hag in, and you've got to remember Ten Hag was the Glazers' last choice, is that was their last attempt at trying to fake it. You know, they're like, this guy, everyone loves him and he's done well at Ajax, so we just drop him in and tell him to go and buy some players and help us. And that's okay. Ten Hag wanted that challenge, but that's not where we stand today now, is it? Like you just said, that hopefully things will change. Things are going to change. No doubt about it. We hope change will bring results. That's what you hope. But things are definitely going to change because that's why you've changed the whole executive committee. That's why the whole board have gone and been ripped out and shown the door. And you're bringing in football people, Scott. And to me, that is the first correct step, is that we've argued for years to have a proper kind of director of football and a football department. And you think Man United, one of the biggest clubs in the world, hasn't had a football department. It's mad. Like, it's like being WH Smiths and not having someone that runs magazines for you. Like, what's the point? Like, there's no point in having the shop. So I think with Man United is that they're just overly obsessed with selling shirts over the years, and they've done that and attracting their next tractor partnership or whoever comes in to give them money. And they've done that very well. But you're now at a crossroads, aren't you? We have to start winning again. And you've actually got to a point where the Glazers have gone, hands up. Can't do this. We've decided we can't do it. We know we can't do it. We'll sell a stake at the club. Give us some cash. You can do it. You know, if you want to be Sir Jim Ratcliffe, marathon runner, you know, Ineos boss, you know, you can go come to the football club and change it, then do it. Do it now and get on with it. And that's why they're doing it as they are, Scott. And the Glazers are as hands-off as they've ever been since the minute they walked through the door. So I feel good about that. I look at that and I think, yeah, we're not a plaything of a state. Yeah, we're not going to be part of that circle of stuff that happens in the world. But Ineos have got things to prove, absolutely, but they will definitely, definitely facilitate change, and change is happening as we speak.
Right, so let's look forward. Right, now today, what happens now? If Rob, you messaged me last night saying your son joked that you should take over as manager. What do you do now? My son
said as interim, I should be the interim manager.
What would you do now? Given there's 3 games left of the season and an FA Cup final coming up, and we've just seen what we've seen, in the steps towards fixing it, what is the right moment to make a change? How would you approach it?
Well, if I was to Jim Ratcliffe, I'd have been trying to start fixing this 6 weeks ago. So I wouldn't already now just be going, ooh, we lost at Crystal Palace. Might have to do something. Nah, I think they've known for a little while that they're going to have to change stuff. So I would be pushing that on, Scott, and it would be one of two things. How badly do I want to win the FA Cup? Do I think we can win the FA Cup? And where do we go after it? So I don't think we can win the FA Cup, being honest. Like, if we turn up, they turn up, they beat us. Like, that's just where it is. But you could have a good day, couldn't you? You know, magic of the cup and all of that. You could beat Man City. But do you change everything to try and make that happen in a couple of weeks? Well, being salient, no, of course you don't. You carry on with Ten Hag to the end of the season and you do the Van Gaal plan, which was let him try and win it. And then when he's gone, pat on the back, shake hands and next manager comes in.
Just a shout out for the Arlie plan, by the way. I think it's foolproof.
Well, I said, like,
Wally with a brolly, Mark II, Steve McLaren takes over.
I think Steve McLaren's been one of the big problems this year. Really has. Like, I think Steve McLaren's training and ideas, and maybe his ideas have watered down some of Eric's. I don't know. Maybe. You know, I hold them all responsible, but definitely I don't want an interim of Steve McLaren. No, thank you.
What about Ollie, just before you get into your point, what about my Ollie plan?
If you're going to go down that route and it's going to be dream scenarios, and I'll just bring in Sir Alex for 2 weeks. Like, is that every game? He could pick the team. He'd go in that dressing room. I could do a really bad Sir Alex impression now, but I won't. But he could go in there and he could make them all run through fires. He could. But so I must be honest, I'm not that fussed about the FA Cup. I'm fussed about next season. I'm already in my head, Scott, thinking about pre-season. Yeah.
Can I ask you before we move on?
Mm-hmm.
I think United are coming eighth, right? And I think most people now do on the basis of last night. They've got Arsenal, Newcastle at home and Brighton away.
Yeah.
Maybe they could come ninth. If Brighton go and win their games and Brighton beat United on the last day, United could come ninth, you know? And then there's the FA Cup, right? So I've actually forgot the point I was trying to ask. I forgot the point I was trying to make there. I've got it. Okay.
Go on.
United could come eighth, which means currently that they are not getting in Europe. Right. Mm-hmm. If they win the FA Cup, they get in the Europa League.
Yeah.
What is the best scenario in terms of going into a summer for a rebuild? Because I am firmly in the camp of, if you're gonna burn it all down, which needs to happen, maybe being out of Europe next season is probably the best thing for you, because A, you have whichever coach you have. They have more time to drill in tactical ideas. You don't have a Thursday-Sunday scenario. And B, I want to see pressure applied to the people in charge to make decisions that have needed to be made for 5 years plus.
Mm-hmm.
That will come with no guarantee of European money. The wage bill's already going to be slashed by 25% because they haven't made the Champions League. What will happen is you don't get that extra income. So where do you have to find it from? Oh, maybe you have to cut the wage bill. Maybe you have to take some cheap deals in order to get players out so you can cut that wage bill. Hmm. Maybe you need to pay some wages like half and half to get players out in order to get to the root and to finally establish a nucleus of players that you can move forward with, even for if it's just for a year at least. I feel like that kind of pressure might end up being beneficial in the end to United, because there's so many players in that team that really shouldn't be there. And also, you'd also get the chance to establish which players actually are there to play for Manchester United and which players are there to play for Man United in Europe. And I feel like that's how I approach it. So, you know, I'm not going to go and say, and I don't want United to win the FA Cup, because of course I do, but in terms of like having a summer where you can reboot, I think coming eighth or ninth, as painful as it might be the best thing.
To me, Scott, it's not painful. It's not. Just come ninth, don't be in Europe. Like, there's no doubt that playing one game a week next year will help you. Like, this is all, again, about pragmatism, isn't it, and fundamentals. And it's a bit like, if you are going to try and, like, you know, juggle the balls to be in some other European competition, you're doing that for the business arm. The business arm wants the money from that, the TV money, and that's all it is. But you're absolutely right. You have to do it a different way. And I still don't believe that every player you sign has to be on £250,000 a week. You don't have to do it like that. You can do it a different way. The year Arsenal were out of Europe was a good year for them, because they managed to kind of reset stuff and go up the table and become valid and relevant again. That's kind of where United are. United come eighth or ninth, Scott. It's no shame in it now. Like, you're on eighth or ninth because you deserve to be there. So less of the tears, Man United, and just get on now with the next stage. And this is why I feel actually quite buoyant about it. I really do. Kind of go into the summer transfer window. People can't be disillusioned and think that the next transfer window solves everything, because nothing ever gets solved in one transfer window. Yeah, you need three or four, but you need three or four on the same page. That's what you need. Erik ten Hag has just had transfer window number 5. Is that right? Or something? Yeah, 5 or something like that. 4. So he's had 4 windows, and he's had a lot of control in those windows, but he's now this week kind of come out quite openly, as in said, I haven't got the players I wanted. You know, that's kind of what a lot of this is. Well, no manager ever gets all the players they want, ever. It doesn't work like that. You never get everyone you want. You get what you need sometimes. I think United, this is where we are now, is that the new sporting arm has to give whoever the coach is what they need to build a football team. And if you're out of Europe, Scott, it's a lot easier. You don't have to turn up for midweek games. You don't have to train for it. You don't have to get ready for those horrible Thursday night matches. And you just get on with it. You either be in the Champions League or nothing. I'm all right with that. Like you said there about the FA Cup as well. You know, if you beat City, the best bit about that is that you beat City. I'm not that bothered about silverware at the moment. Like, we're not in that world. Like, we can win a trophy, but it doesn't actually change anything. So for me now, it's just all about the change. And the opportunity to change is now here. It's on our doorstep. And the next 4 weeks of football, Scott, with the ball being kicked around the football pitch for Man United, are completely 100% insignificant. Means nothing. What matters now is the transfer window and pre-season.
Just wanted to, I think it's 3 weeks, Rob, actually. Let me see.
Yeah.
Dates the FA Cup final.
3 or 4 weeks, something like that.
25th of May. So it's literally less than 3 weeks till it's over.
They'll all be on the beach in 4 weeks. All the players, Eric, everyone will all be on the beach in their £1 million condominiums. They'll all be all right. So, like, I think I put in my tweet here, you know, don't let United ruin your life to United fans, because we've all been there. We've all been there where this football club ruins your life. We've all felt it. We've all felt awful. But the truth is, like, this is the point now for the next few weeks, is to just let things happen a little bit and see what Ineos can do.
This is not the worst I've felt, by the way, because like, I'm so used to seeing this kind of thing in years past that it was a lot more raw at the time. And now I'm kind of like numb to it. I've said this numerous times. I just find myself laughing through these disastrous matches. People were keen to point out last night that this is Ten Hag's team. And I'm just picking up on the point that you made there. This might be, maybe this comes across as a defense for Ten Hag. It's not intended to be, right? Mm. But you can't sit there and tell me that Erik Ten Hag wanted Johnny Evans to start matches. Like, it might technically be his team because 9 of the players started that game. But really, is it? You know, if you're going to sign players that, you know, everyone will look at United and admit they've spent money terribly, but they'll still hold up the 400 million thing and as a stick to beat him with. And yeah, fair enough. I think you can say that, but that's not how you build a team. That's not a team that you should, like, you should be identifying profiles of players and then building options and like depth in those positions. Like when you're relying on Johnny Evans, who's 36 and got relegated with Leicester, to come in and be your savior for essentially an entire season at centre-back. You can't tell me that anybody would have wanted that, let alone Erik ten Hag. Casemiro as well, maybe that's a conversation for another day. But, you know, he can't do everything that he wants. I think he's not making any secret of that. He's obviously blaming the injuries, which it buys him some leeway, but not a lot of it. We still should be seeing a lot better than we're seeing. But I think my point again is it's bigger. Like, it's bigger than any one person. It's bigger than the manager, and like, fundamental change is needed. United, everybody will sit there and tell you United have signed terribly in the transfer market for a decade. And yet we're still doing the thing where it's like, oh, this manager, it's your fault. It's your fault. It's your fault. You signed all these players. Let's get away from you signed all these players. It should be about, sorry, my screen froze there. It should be about who the club signed, not who the manager signed. Anyway, I keep freezing, yes. So you take over.
Yes, no, you're right. You're right about that. But what we'll say on a counterpoint to that is that he did pick Johnny Evans. Like, Johnny Evans is injured. He picked him. He didn't need to. He's got kids on the bench. He can play. So it is his decision at the end of the day. He hasn't decided 10 years of transfers at Man United. Of course not. Like, that's not his fault. And I think this is why the blame game is like ridiculous and it's reductive. But you have to look at it and say, right, well, who made that decision? I think the art of management, Scott, always is to predict what's going to happen. You've got to be almost like a genie in a bottle and go, right, Palace do this. I got to make sure we don't do that. And there's none of that from Eric. You know, there is none of that from Eric. Eric is like, I do this and we're going to smash teams out of the park. That's what we're going to do. We're going to counter press. We're going to do this. We're going to do this in certain areas. I think with Johnny Evans, thank God we've had Johnny Evans this year. Like, if we didn't have Johnny Evans this year, we'd have been playing all sorts at centre back.
So, yeah, I don't mean to stick the boot into Johnny Evans. Yeah, he's just the example that I'm using. And fair play to him if he's been asked to play and he has played and tried his best at 36 years old. Like, you know, I'm glad he's come back. Like, of course. Like, and a lot of respect to him. But happily
give
him,
do you know what? Happily give him another year. I would. Because it's about building a squad, right? It's not his fault. In the same way that I don't think it's Casemiro's fault they can't run. In the same way that I don't think it's Eriksen's fault he can't cover a position that he shouldn't be playing. So like, I think this is the thing, is that you have a squad of 20-odd players and it's all about nuance, Scott. And so it all fits together like the stickle bricks. So actually, you know what it all does. And I think the thing is with Johnny Evans is that as a cover player to play six games a season in, you know, the moments when you want to rest players, like at smaller teams or when you're playing cup games, yeah, roll Johnny Evans out in the cup at Cardiff or something like that when you're playing those types of games. Do I want Johnny Evans to play 20 odd games in a Premier League season? Of course not, but you have to have coverage. And I think with United, is that that's maybe where the balance is lost, is that Eric's teams have been decimated by injury. But I'm also not going to say, when you've got Hamed Fulham at Palace, oh, well, he wouldn't want to have played Johnny Evans. Was like, well, you've got a centre-back on your bench as a kid. Maybe play him. Maybe give him a go. Maybe do something different. You know, the times
you think like, maybe I'm thinking too deep into this, but do you think, oh, I'm asking to play such a silly system that it might be actually quite a big risk to put another kid in and damage their confidence?
Completely. Completely. But I don't think Erik ten Hag thinks that. I think Eric is a ruthless manager, like every manager is. I don't think he's sitting there, Scott, with empathy for the kids. Like, I think he's thinking, I need to win games. So sometimes desperation makes you do the same mistakes over and over again. That's where the madness is. So, you know, we saw that team before, Scott, and we knew what was going to happen. We could predict it. Predictably, it happened. Palace predicted it. Palace went and did their thing, and they hammered United. But that has happened all year long. And I think this is where, you know, where the buck stops, because the buck stops with the Glazers for the football club for over the many, many, many years. But when you pick a team week to week, the buck has to stop with the management team in the immediacy. That's where you earn your stripes to then say to your bosses, I'm ready for next year to go again. Give me new players. I've solved these mad fires. But. And I think in year one, as you said, we've said this before, he did well. I liked what he did. But then he kind of gave up on changing things this year. He gave up on trying to actually affect matches. He's just kind of done the same plan over and again. It hasn't worked. I've seen people criticize Cobby Manor this morning. It's sad. You know, Cobby's a kid and Cobby needs help. And he's been absolutely laid out to dry by these tactics. He's got no chance in there. And now he's giving the ball away and people are like, oh, so someone tweeted me and went, oh, he's turned into Paul Pogba. You're just like, oh, I'm bored of it. Like, you know, so those types of fans, obviously there's that toxic element in the United fan base that does exist online and they get upset about these things. But Cobby Manor is not the problem, is he? Like, it's what's happening around Cobby that's not helping him. So, yeah, I'd have played a kid. Definitely last night. I would actually hold my hands up if I was Eric and go, right, the season's done. So I want to be here next year. So I'm going to change stuff radically. Watch it. I'm going to put kids in. I'm going to play a different system. And you know what? We can't coach it to the level that we want to, but I'm not doing this that's making us die in games anymore. I have to stop that because I want to save my job and I want to do something different. If that's the case, you don't play Casemiro at centre-back. You don't play Johnny Evans. No matter who you got, you do something different, Scott. Yesterday, Palace, Scott, played three at the back. Yeah, they've been practising it about 3 or 4 weeks. Played it beautifully. You can do it. You can. If you've got the idea, you've got a manager that makes you play 3-4-3, you can do it. So Eric, I know, doesn't want to play that system, and that's really it. But a manager can change things. I think we're always bolted in that they can't. They absolutely can. And I think with Eric this year, it's just not worked for him. He's tried what he wants to try, but, you know, he might get a beautiful promotion, Scott, to Bayern Munich. Like, I don't know if that would be a promotion, but, you know, Bayern like him. I'm sure he's not going to Bayern, but, you know, I jest. But I don't know, maybe the Bundesliga suits his style more. I don't really know at the moment. It certainly doesn't suit the Premier League.
I'll return to my question I asked you earlier. What do you do for the rest of the season? I think we reached the point where it was like, yeah, you give Eric till the end, yeah, and then you make your Louis van Gaal change. Yeah. Right. And then
next 3 or 4 weeks don't really matter. They don't. Now, what matters is afterwards in the summer, when the window opens, who you've been out the football club matters. and what you decide to do with the manager, but then also having a tactical identity, Scott, to go and buy in the transfer market to actually know what you really want to do, because United have never had that, and that's really what Dan Ashworth will be doing.
So, should we circle back to who the manager should be? I don't know. Like, you take this wherever you want to take it. Let's look ahead to the summer, and maybe we'll do a show in more depth. But just for now, what's your first steps into the summer?
Well, the manager today is Erik ten Hag. So that's it. So today, Erik goes and trains the teams and you get on with it. As I said, if I'm Jim Ratcliffe, I've already been looking at the market and scouring and making my decisions and thinking about stuff. I think the obvious candidate out there still is Thomas Tuchel, but I don't think Thomas Tuchel excites anyone. Not really. You know, he's the most capable in terms of his CV, but CVs don't win you titles, if you know what I mean. It's just gets you the job. I'm not being too forceful, as I said, about these next 3 or 4 weeks, because I want to get Dan Ashworth in the building. I want to get Berada in the building. I want to get it properly. I want to solidify all those positions. And then we can talk about the manager. And I don't think, Scott, today there is any point chucking names out and just saying, yeah, that's the guy. Because do you know what? In 2 or 3 weeks, it might not be the guy. Might not be. It's just that you have to find a way now of getting, a candidate list of 5 or 6 people. Yeah, and actually really digging in on what they can offer you in terms of a long-term project, a long-term identity, but then bringing Man United back to winning. Because I think that's what this is about now. Get the club back to being a winning entity. Because we are not. We are a losing entity. What's that? Was that 13 Premier League games last night we lost this year? I think it was. Which makes 18 overall or something? 19? It's not acceptable. So you have to start from that foot. So I'm not going to do that today. I'm not going to say, yeah, this is the guy, because I think people want that kind of content. But I'm not going to put my head on the block for that. You know, why should we at the moment? This is the next 3 or 4 weeks. Let it all happen. Let it play out. Let's see which players just walk, because there will be. Some players will go, I'm done. Bye. Someone, I think that's Jay Motti, tweeted earlier on, just saw that. He said people are still blaming Marcus Rashford for what happened last night. It's like, it's a joke, because it's funny, isn't it? Like, that's what people want to just blame people. But I think now it's up to saying to Ineos, go fix it. You've bought this stake in the club, and I'm willing to wait and see, Scott. And there will be managers out there. I'm always believed that. There's always people out there. It's not the guy, but there are guys out there that you can bring into your football club to make it better. And there will be a coach out there. And I think it will unravel itself in the next few weeks. Would not surprise me if it's a kind of left field name that come in this next time, if they can't get themselves someone like Tuchel.
It's funny because you talk about blame. There's a series that I've come up with even 2016. I wrote three of them alone on Man United. A who is to blame series. Or I just like rank 30 people or entities, or like, it's kind of a jokey article. I think that maybe I'll dig one up, and maybe it's time for a fourth one. Who knows? Who is to blame? Because everybody loves to attach blame. And that the point of that is, it's not one person's fault, you know, and I don't want to keep doubling back to that point, but Rob, we've been, how good a job have we done of being positive? Because we said at the start we wanted to be. I don't know if we have done. Okay. Have we done a good job of that? I don't think we have.
Actually. I think we've been real, because I think this is where it is. And as I said, the reason why we took the show like this today is because, again, a lot of the reaction is just like mania. People going mad about stuff. Like, okay, cool. You know, upset. Sometimes I wonder, are people upset, or is this all just like a big football game? So I'm upset. You're upset, Scott, like we are. But it's all about kind of, I think, just, I said, a little bit here now, of a little bit of calm to understand that you have to just let some of this stuff happen. And actually losing 4-0 at Palace is not maybe the worst thing in the world if you then fix it somewhere down the line. As I said, and we started the show saying about band-aids and cuts, is that you just now have to get to a place, Scott, where you put all the pieces back in place. And that includes the players, but that's going to take a bit of time. And you have to kind of let it wash over you. You do. And you just have to kind of accept that we are where we are and that things will get better. Like, I do honestly believe that things will get better. It might take time, but you've only got to go and look at Arsenal. And Arsenal is the perfect project about where you can go from being utterly awful. And Arsenal were for years. Yeah. Just like United are. Awful. And you get the right manager, you get the right structure, you get the right executives, and then you go get the right players. And then you're in it. and you're in it. And it feels like quick, but as I said, Arsenal has taken 5 years to build. Like, so this is why I said United will take 5 years. So chill to everyone. Like, don't get upset every time you see something awful on a football pitch. Yeah, comment on it, talk about it. That's part of the passion of the game, isn't it? But a bit of realism. And, you know, there's absolutely no point here in kind of, as I said, ruining your life for a football club. There isn't. This football club will come back. You just have to go with it. Man United were terrible, Scott, through the 70s and the 80s. Yeah, it took 20 years, yeah, to get back. And that those fan bases from those eras will tell you. And I can remember at the end of the 80s with Fergie coming in, how you know, conflicted you felt as a kid. And a lot of United fans will be feeling that now. But I actually think we're in a healthier place today than we were, say, 12 months ago. Yeah, I think we're actually in a place where we can change stuff now. Whereas 12 months ago, when we won that League Cup and everyone was celebrating and saying, yeah, you won a trophy. And I was like, nothing's changed. You've got to go do it again the second year now. Second year, you've got to get better. And that's not happened this year. So, but I think we're in a healthier spot now today than we were 12 months ago. And that's because the Glazer fingerprints are no longer on the door handles. They're being cleaned off by Sir Jim Ratcliffe and his team.
Maybe that's the right way to go about being positive, because I do agree with you. I know, like, yeah, on the surface it looks absolutely horrible, and it absolutely is, but there's a strong case to say that Ten Hag last year overachieved with He took over, until this point, it was actually the worst Man United team in Premier League history according to their points. I think this one might even beat that one. So maybe you are technically falling lower. But I think that the important thing here to remember is that 2 years ago, when Ten Hag was appointed, we were going through the guise of, oh, look, this manager will fix it. It's all about the manager. This manager will fix it. The Glazers have installed Richard Arnold instead of Ed Woodward. Mm. And John Murta is taking an important job. And this is the new way that we're doing things. But the common theme throughout the last 11 years has been that the people who were appointing the manager hadn't a clue where they were going. And now I think the most important thing here to remember is that United have a new structure being built above the manager, whoever it ends up being. Mm. And those people, they can give you a bit of hope because they have track records of working at other clubs and getting other clubs to succeed. That is maybe in Ratcliffe's case. I know people will throw Nice at you. Brailsford, you'll say, oh, he's been in cycling. Football, really? Has he proven anything? But no, these guys are installing people who have good pedigree at other football clubs. Omar Berada coming from Manchester City. There is Dan Ashworth, who has done very good work with England, Brighton, Newcastle, even though some people will look at it and say, nah, he made some bad decisions there. But generally, overall, Dan Ashworth, considered one of the brightest minds, best sporting directors in the country. Jason Wilcox, who has himself been at Manchester City, who has been a sporting director at Southampton. You've now plucked him out and he is in the building already. There'll be other appointments too, you'd think. And that's the encouraging thing, is finally, after 11 years of false dawns, maybe this is the point where, as bad as it looks on the pitch, maybe we'll actually get fundamental change for the first time.
Exactly. And positivity doesn't mean celebrate now. Like, I'm not saying there's anything to celebrate. There isn't anything to celebrate. Of course not. But positivity with change means that you allow it to happen and go on the journey. And I kind of put on Twitter there, you know, buckle up for the ride. Because that's what this is all about now. This is about what happens next, not about what's happening right now. So you'll get there in the end. And I think one extra point that, Scott, you said there about the Ineos team, is that there's nothing more powerful for a billionaire to want change and to force change when it's your money. Yeah. Jim Ratcliffe is putting a lot of money into the whole Man United project, the infrastructure of the football club around the stadium and around the team. And there's nothing more powerful about forcing change. And the reasons why the Glazers for 10 years haven't had that impetus is they haven't put any money in. Yeah. You know what they put money into, Scott? Shopping malls in America that they bought, and the Tampa Bay, the NFL team that they had, and they won the Super Bowl. So
you were looking, you know, for the Buccaneers there, Rob.
The Bucks, yeah. Exactly. So I nearly said Tampa Bay Rowdies. God, I'm so old. Yeah, but the Bucks. So, like, this is the thing, is that when you put your money in properly, you're really invested. And we feel that with Jim Ratcliffe, is that he's putting this money in because he's not just trying to turn Old Trafford into the Ineos Arena. You know, he's doing it because he wants to win football matches. He's at the game, Scott. He's suffering with the fans, sat there like this. Dave Brailsford, like, oh my God, what are we watching? And he feels it like we feel it. He's a fan at the end of the day, but he has actually got the opportunity to change things, and he's going to change it. That's why I feel confident in that. And that's, for me, is all you need to know today. That's it. And the rest of it will build and keep building. And I think when our CEO gets in the building, yeah, Berada, we know that he obviously is advising all sorts at the moment, as is Dan Ashworth, is that they will force things to happen in a way that maybe we've never experienced at Man United before.
Right, we'll wrap up soon, just your notice. But any final thoughts from you today, Rob?
Do you know what? I am absolutely dying. I don't know if I did a good job here for an hour.
You did. I didn't even realise you had hay fever.
Honestly, my chest illness. Is on fire. I felt like Casemiro after a sprint. Tell you, absolutely sick. But yeah, I'm glad we got through the show. We wanted to do it today and to kind of address those things like we always do. And just stick with us, people. Stick with Man United. Stick with the team. And we're not far away from a nice summer now, aren't we? So we have a little bit of a break in terms of United business. But hopefully through that, Scott, Man United will go and buy some players. Like, we didn't mention Elise, did we? You know, I thought he had a good game last night. And if he's in the shop window, people might talk about his injuries, but 60 million release clause, Manchester United supporter. Might be what you're doing in the summer in a few weeks' time. We'll have to wait and see.
I prefer Anthony.
Did you see Anthony coming off the pitch? We didn't talk about that. Did you see Anthony and Mason Mount coming off the pitch and Jamie Carragher?
Oh, I know. Shut up, mate. Stop talking. In that situation, I actually kind of felt for Mason Mount a bit. Like, he looked like quite moved by what had just happened. And Anthony was like whispering with his or shouting with his hand over his ear.
Yeah.
Like, mate, he's probably talking about that pass that he made when there were five people ahead of him and he gave the ball away.
Yeah.
I don't know. Blame someone else.
I think Anthony was like, McDonald's on the coach, Mason. And Mason's like, no, Big Mac. I don't want Big Mac today. I want Burger King. And everyone's like, Jamie Carragher's going mad, going, get off the pitch. So look, it's quite funny, but I think they're all highly embarrassed, Scott. Like, I believe that. But they're taking the money home. They won't be at the club in the future, probably some of them, not all of them. Like you said, players like Anthony, unfortunately, have been a mitigated disaster, haven't they? Completely. You know, you can't, 85 million for a couple of assists was never the deal, was it, the plan? But that's now what Ineos needs to work with. They need to look at every individual player, Scott, and get rid of the ones that can't take you forward. And that's good. I'm actually all right. We're at that stage because we've needed it.
Have indeed. And we'll be back on Friday. United,
will be.
United play Arsenal next.
Yeah.
So, fun stuff. If United beat Arsenal, they hand City the title. Or they can get smashed by Arsenal. And yeah, we'll see. I don't know. we'll be back on Friday. Kind of lost for words by this point. Anyway, we hope we helped you feel a little bit better. It's been an hour and 6 minutes of catharsis, perhaps. And yeah, it's not a point. I'm done being angry. I'm done being, you know, frustrated. Yeah, maybe the frustration still lingers, but, you know, look forward and maybe hope that things are actually going to change.
When we're back, when we're winning everything again, and it will happen.
Remember
these moments. Yeah. Because when United first won that FA Cup in 1990, and I was a boy, I remembered all the way through the 5 years before that, where the expectations were so low and we were so bad. And we were as bad as we are now. Like, we really were a mid-table team. Yeah. A proper mid-table club. 12th, 13th, around there. We will be back. And we will be winning things again. And that's your time to rub it in all those other fans' faces who are having a go at you now. Don't worry about them. Let them go and win stuff. Arsenal, City, all that lot. Liverpool. Watch Liverpool now, Scott. Go through this. Liverpool about to go through this, right? And people don't see it, but it's going to happen. So Arnie Slot might be a good coach, might not have the faculties to do it. Happens to every club. Every club goes through the cycle. Man United are going through their cycle right now. One day it will be better, but remember these moments.
Yeah, as the fans say, will never die, etc., etc. And I feel like it's pretty much apt at the moment. And as bad as it looks, we've seen worse. It's been lower. Maybe not on the pitch, but I feel like with change just around the corner that you can just have a little bit of room for optimism, even if Man United are losing 4-0 at Selhurst Park to Crystal Palace and will probably get smashed by Arsenal, Newcastle and Brighton and Manchester City within the next 3 weeks. But anyway, we'll be here for it all. We'll be talking about whatever United do next on the pitch, whatever they do off the pitch. On the Promised Land podcast, thanks for listening to today's show or watching it if you're watching on YouTube as well. Subscribe wherever you get your shows on Apple and Spotify and give us a 5-star review. Watch us on the YouTube channel where you can like the stream, subscribe, leave a comment, hit the notification bell so you never miss a show. Please get in touch with us as well on social media at @_ScottSaunders on X, Instagram and TikTok, at @Rob_B on X and YouTube, and at @TPLMUFC. For the show itself. And we'll be back later this week to talk about whatever's next. But until then, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching from Scott and Rob. This has been the Promised Land podcast. Until next time, have a fantastic week. It looks like it's going to be sunny, so at least get out there and enjoy the weather a little bit. Until next time, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. See you soon.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.